College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by J.P. Morrell, City Council Member at Large. He joins us. J.P., thank you for joining us this morning.
No problem.
Last week was a busy week, a lot going on, a lot with both committee meetings and at the council meeting. Let's first talk about the veto overrides, I think the first being relative to charity, the charity redevelopment, I should say.
Yeah, essentially, so as you know, we have been embroiled for this entire term in the Wisner litigation regarding the mayor's illegal efforts to kind of cut a deal with the greedy out-of-state heirs to deprive the citizens of the city of 100% of the Wisner Trust and instead take 35% that she would have exclusive control over in exchange for giving up the rest to the heirs and to the other people who had an interest in it. And the council's been fighting over that for years. We won two very significant judgments in civil district court. In the course of preparing to go to the appellate court, because obviously the mayor and the greedy heirs are appealing, we negotiated a settlement with Tulane that would get Tulane out of the litigation and give the council and the city their portion of the suit. Part of that settlement was a commitment to do $20 million in capital expenditures towards the charity redevelopment. Now, what was very interesting is in negotiating that settlement, representatives from Tulane met with the Cantrell administration, let them know what we're doing. The ordinance was written with Councilman DeRusso talking to the Cantrell administration, moving around district members' priorities to fund the settlement. And the settlement was done, and that got the city free and clear 12% of the Wisner Trust before going into the appeal process. The mayor then suddenly, and without provocation, vetoed it. And she vetoed that that capital commitment. And Newell, looking at this, the only logical reason, and I use logic very loosely, to have done that was the mayor has consistently been on the wrong side of this lawsuit. And the heirs, the unnamed out-of-state heirs, we don't know who they are, but the heirs themselves, obviously in litigation, as you know, because you're a lawyer, when someone starts to settle, the remaining litigants get very pissed off. And so the only logical reason for doing this is for the mayor and the other heirs who are losing the lawsuit to try to punish Tulane and punish the city council for winning and trying to blow up that settlement.
And the city losing. Right.
Yes, because, I mean, obviously, charity sits fallow. It's been there since Katrina. It's a billion-dollar project, potentially, that needs state and federal tax credits. And the amount of money that the city is committing towards the capital improvements should the project start moving is really a token amount. But it's going to require the city and the state and other partners from around the region to collectively invest in charity anyway. This settlement is very similar to the school board settlement in that we're simply putting pen to paper on a commitment the city would have had to do anyway to try and get the charity redevelopment restarted.
So the council action on Thursday was to override that veto.
Correct. And that override was unanimous. The big wrinkle that came out of that, and this is kind of like, you know, lawyer to lawyer, the city attorney is the legal representative, the lawyer for the mayor against the city council in the Wisner litigation. Obviously, the mayor and the heirs who are losing that litigation had a legal strategy in trying to blow up the settlement. What was a huge wrinkle and led to a big explosion between the city attorney's office as well as Councilmember Harris and I is that, unsolicited, we received out of the blue the day before the veto session a legal memorandum that was marked as privileged from the city attorney's office challenging the legality of the ordinance that we had done. Now, what's very telling, Newell, is that if the city attorney was to have concerns regarding the legality of the original ordinance, that ordinance was filed on June 12th and went through the committee and regular council process. As you know from in Jefferson Parish, you'll have your own attorney as well. That concern would have come up when the ordinance was introduced before it went to committee or before the council voted on it. Instead, we got this unsolicited legal opinion the day before we were to vote after the mayor's veto. And you know, Newell, typically if there's a legal opinion, the client asks for the legal opinion. We didn't ask for it, and the attorney said on the record the city attorney told him to write the opinion and send it to us. So what you had is the attorney on the other side of litigation using city resources to send us an unsolicited opinion supporting the mayor's position and trying to undermine the settlement, which, as you know, is a recipe for a bar complaint that I'm working on right now.
Well, I was going to say, what are we waiting on? I mean, you know, obviously these people don't—they don't care about conflicts. I mean, they've never seen a conflict. You know, they couldn't identify a conflict if it slapped them in the face.
We were incensed. The email chain between Councilman DeRusso and the city attorney's office was incensed. It's like, wait, you're sending us an opinion no one asked for from an attorney who's conflicted, who directed another attorney to send us a memo to try and, after the fact, do a whole new argument in support of the mayor's veto that wasn't even included in her veto message. And I mean, it's just the sheer audacity of this city attorney and the mayor's office to use city resources to promote her agenda is just nauseating. And I mean, as you know, I filed a charter amendment, first read, last council meeting, that's really going to go in and restructure the city attorney's office, because the city attorney, this city attorney, has shown that our charter is not explicit enough in laying out that the city attorney's role is to represent the city and not the mayor. Because there have been so many instances where the law, jurisprudence, case law, tradition falls firmly on the side of the city attorney doing their job. And whenever the mayor says, nope, I want you to take a powder, nope, I want you to ignore the law, they gleefully do it. And I think there's a direct correlation between how just ridiculously broken this office is and the fact that it is at its lowest staffing levels in modern history. There are barely any lawyers left there because they've all quit because of how just ridiculous that office has become.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series, as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit, as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
JP, correct me if I'm wrong, but when the meeting was had where the mayor confected this new deal with the heirs and decided to keep the concept of this trust, or at least the details of the trust, alive, I thought the city charter required council approval on that action. Am I wrong? Am I right?
No, you're right, and the judge agreed with you, which is why he declared the trust an absolute nullity. I mean, the law is explicit. So there is no trust. The mayor could not continue, create a new trust, do whatever she was doing without council approval, because the charter requires that. And that was one of the two judgments the judge had in our favor, which is that there is no trust because the mayor could not do it unilaterally.
So, what was the opinion of the city attorney relative to that issue?
The city attorney has consistently held that the mayor had the authority to do it, despite the fact that the charter very clearly states it does not. It's the same position they took when, as you know, we're embroiled in that litigation with Charles Rice over the city attorney hiring special counsel without counsel approval, the charter explicitly says that special legal counsel can only be hired with counsel approval. When the counsel declined to give approval, the contract wasn't signed. When Mr. Rice, the former disgraced CEO of Energy who astroturfed the city into that gas plant we're paying on each year, he sued the city saying, I should have got the contract anyway. What should have happened is the city attorney should have defended the law. Instead, she said, nope, not my problem. City council, you need to do it. We spend a tremendous amount of money, Newell, on lawyers to defend us because the city attorney has chosen not to.
Yeah, I mean, I how do you serve two masters? I've never understood that. We have the same issue. Most government, most jurisdictions have that same issue. I've never been able to figure out how you're able to serve two masters like that. It's very, very difficult. I would never want to be a parish attorney or city attorney.
Previously, there's a built-in solution to that. The mayor has an executive council. The city council has an executive council. What should be happening right now is that if there's a disagreement, the city attorney historically represents the city and says, if you have a position, council or mayor, that's outside of my purview where there's a conflict, your council in your budget, your executive council, whether it be the mayor or the council's executive council, they represent you. Here's the problem. The mayor's executive council is a guy named Cliff who's disbarred, and she's never hired another executive council. So rather than hire an executive council that's actually barred in Louisiana, she's defaulted to the city attorney. And the city attorney, who should have recused himself from representing either of us against the other, just picked the mayor's side. That is the problem we have in the city right now is that this mayor has done things that are so bizarre and outside the norm, and yet you have district judges and the city attorney who normalize aberrant behavior. And if you just use logic, and that's kind of what the charter amendment, which we're considering for next meeting, does, just says the city attorney's job, Newell, is to represent the corporation that is the city of New Orleans. In times of conflict, the mayor and the council need to get their own counsel because the only role of the city attorney should be to represent what's in the city's best interest. When it comes to Wisner, we've already got 100% of the money. Why is the city attorney fighting with the mayor to get citizens less money? That makes no sense at all, not even a little bit.
And meanwhile, she's on her "Oh Woe Is Me" tour, talking about being crucified. I think the Wisner Trust, y'all would get what, $9 million a year?
Yep, $9 million a year into perpetuity. Yep,
in perpetuity, and basically, what we're getting now is about three.
Yes. Right now we're getting about three in her badly negotiated deal where even under the previous trust that Mitch Landrieu operated under, we're getting closer to 50%. She negotiated a worse deal, and the exchange in negotiating that worse deal was that she got 100% discretion over that 35% rather than that 35% having to be dealt with transparently with the council in a public manner. That 35% in the new trust, she was forwarding directly to the Forward New Orleans PAC that she controlled to do her own slush fund stuff.
And all the while, you could have used that money to buy. You could have bonded that money out to pay unpaid judgments or anything else.
We could have done that. I mean, under the Wisner Trust, there are some kind of general ideas of what they do. As you know, the council has the $7 million council fund. We use to fund nonprofits, helping kids and culture bearers and helping reduce crime. There's a variety of things that money could have went to that would have seen a return to the people of the city, not going to Forward New Orleans, which then went out to checks to people that she decided to give checks to or whatever.
And Forward New Orleans is now gone, right?
It's defunct. There was some concerns from the inspector general regarding the legality of it. And as you may recall, the former executive director turned whistleblower and the entire board resigned and dissolved it almost within a 2 or 3 month period.
Now, remind me why she's being crucified.
I think that language attests to the fact that she has the lowest approval rating of any mayor in modern history, lower than Ray Nagin.
Every time I talk to you, I'm reminded about something that I've forgotten about, right? It just seems like there's so many now that we forgot about half of them as to why we find ourselves in the position we find ourselves in now. When we come back, I promised that I wasn't going to talk about trash, but we got to talk about trash when we return. We're visiting with J.P. Morrell, City Council Member at Large. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.